Before you start, you need to tell me because I have a something I need to say. Like in
who is this to?
In fun. It's to the broadcast, to the stream.
Okay.
That's how to begin.
Just let me know when we're going.
I mean, I was just gonna throw on the broadcast in the background, but I guess I don't need it. I mean, what do I need it for? Let me make sure. I just got to get one more quick thing.
You need to watch my awesome finish. That's what you need to be watching the broadcast for.
That is how you green flag, boys.
No, see, Dean tried to copy my green flag strategy, and it didn't work.
I should have had a great race, but I didn't.
No, that's how you not start a race. What you did was different.
I did nothing wrong. Literally, I was a...
No, I'm talking about what Telder. I'm talking about what Telder did compared to Dean. What Dean did, he tried to start a race. There's a difference here.
We're recording, so fire away.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, to those listening to the podcast, we warn you, parental discretion is advised, but highly the ignored.
That's the intro. I'm glad to see you, Gareth. Welcome to Just Here for the GLSR. My name is Sammy B. I'm the driver of the 22, former admin. I do a lot of the marketing stuff. That's not important. I'm joined by Chris Skella, our broadcaster, the voice of GLSR. And boy, we have a guest for you. We've put it off long enough.
Yeah.
It's Elder time.
We allowed him in. Hi, Matt. This is where you say hi.
Hey, I was listening to that excellent intro. I was just sitting here enjoying that. That was
basking
amazing.
In the glory. Well, you know, it's, I feel like now we have to think about, like, you're a wrestling guy. You like wrestling. And it's what would the walk-in music be for Telder? Like, I don't even know what it would be.
Well, I mean, if we had to use like a modern, not a modern, but like if we had to use a big time wrestler, just so to say, just right off the bat, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, because he's just straight defined, or maybe CM Punk, a little cult of personality, maybe something like that.
All right.
But I mean, you could pick any song from a rocker back in the day and you could come out to that song.
I just wondered. Now, am I right in that, Telder, or is that not true?
If I had to pick one, I've always been a Randy Orton fan.
Ah,
it would definitely be Voices.
Well, that explains things.
Oh my God! By the way, I almost didn't do it. Of course, this podcast is brought to you by Black Horizon. they make beer. I have here tonight. I just bought it. The Black is Beautiful Rye and Oat Stout. So we got a thick boy. Oh my God, I almost didn't do it. So, okay. Back to Telder time. That's yummy.
I'm going to open one too.
Got a boy. Well, hell, I might as well go get one. Did I take
I'm just next? Kidding. That's not beer. That's Coke to mix with Captain Morgan.
That a boy.
Did you see what I just dealt with in the boxing ring? I don't know if you've watched that in the last
Wait,
hour.
Something
and
going
half.
On. I've been on a broadcast and now I'm playing some game that
Chris,
a few idiots
it's
got me
already
to.
Begun. It's Sunday. It's well, Sunday, and it's already begun. Now, well, I had to miss the practice race, so I'm not going to say nothing, but just, like, it's already begun.
First things first, the practice race should have been held, like, six seasons ago.
It's,
like, what I mean by that is, like, to get to this specific race on Wednesday,
right.
This practice should have started six seasons ago.
No, you're not wrong, I'm afraid, because I had to miss it.
I mean... I've said my piece about it, but we bring on potentially the one of the more controversial figures in the league.
To talk about a crazy
this
race.
This week.
Okay. Before we derail the show, we got lot to get to.
It was derailed when you messaged me earlier this week.
Yeah, no, I was
that might have been when you went off the track, Sam.
I was like, who do we got to get on the show? And I was like,
he said Telder's coming to my mic. Uh-oh.
No, let me see. I want to have the exact phrasing here. I said, be ready, .. Sunday. Telder's coming to podcast town. And then it's a gif of Scar going, be prepared.
There's no preparing.
There's no preparing. Anyways, gotta start somewhere. Also, tonight, later in the show, we got to dangle it a little bit later on. We're revealing the season 8 calendar.
Oh, look out.
Before we get to that point, why is it these tracks that really are, I'm not going to call them unexceptional. They're not that weird. We had Nashville the other season where things went super wonky on the first lap before the first corner. It's a great course. I actually got a C-fixed win.
Congrats on that, by the way. I saw that.
Were you the only one in the field?
No. I'm getting better, Chris.
Scott, anywho. It might have been one of those like 2 a.m. single split.
Super late model race things that you put me in last night.
A win is a win.
I did not volunteer you to do that. You volunteered.
Telder hands me a setup. Hey, I hope you're the best. Yeah, I wrecked, I think, 10 times.
I told you what to change. You ignored me. That's on you.
I digress. Okay. I'm going to get on my soapbox right now. I'm getting this out of the way. First part of the show.
Probably a good idea.
I don't know what I need to do. I end up in the back of the field and then things go wrong and things go bad. And then it's like and I'm like, okay, I'm going to work. I'm going to get better. I'm really push myself forward. Last couple of weeks, I've been like qualifying in the top 10, close to, sitting in eighth place. And I'm like, it's lap one. I always do the pre-race thing. I'm like, hey guys, welcome. We're here at whatever fucking track we're at. Be calm, be cool. Let's not kill each other. And then we go three wide off the first turn. Now look, Casey Duncan and Dean have already hashed out the whole thing. It's lap one. And I gave so much room. I heard my spotter go, three wide. I'm like, great. So I go all the way up to the wall as far as I can to try and just give all the room. I'm like, I just want to survive. I feel like I can do okay. And that was it. So I don't know. That's it. I mean, there's nothing I can do because I just was a passenger again. So I guess, you know, I know what it is. Usually, it's our teammates crashing into each other. And Dean, former teammate, felt like he was missing out and wanted to give me one. So, anywho.
I mean, I think the moral of the story is we just quit running mile and a half because bad things keep happening.
No, that's not the moral of the story here. The moral of the story is the adjective I heard a minute ago.
Oh, yeah, that was a wild one.
Or was that a verb? Yeah, that was an adjective.
It was an adjective. Okay. That was an adjective form.
I don't need Luke yelling at me. So...
Oh, he's going to yell at you either way.
It's the record for the quickest F-bomb in history of this podcast.
I think we did. But no, I'm just saying, I think on the flip side, I think I know why it happened. Because we've got Martinsville coming up, and then after that is Michigan, and that's the do or die race. A lot of people, I think, mentally knew that, like, oh, I got to have a good result. Got to have a good result right away. And they didn't even think that it was lap one.
No, here's the deal, okay? It was an unfortunate situation where Casey Duncan did not have the best start of the race. Okay, and unfortunately, we have Mr. Start and Restart in the room with us tonight. And so Casey has trouble going. Dean gets a good start. He jumps to the apron to make the move, which leads to my other, I jokingly call it the Telder rule, but
it is the Telder rule.
There's other factors involved here where if you go to the apron, it's your responsibility to get on track safe. Stopping that whole topic right now and switching over to the topic of maybe, I don't want to say a lack of respect. Maybe it's a lack of knowing each other, but also a sense of decorum. Look up that word, Telder. And so
that was way too many syllables.
Right?
And I can't even spell that.
Exactly. D-E-corum. So basically, I think in this situation, you have two guys that are going for it, but at the same time, could have probably been a little more, and I'm going to use the word respect in this case, respectful to each other. And Casey probably could have moved up a little bit to give Chris the room, but at the same time, Chris probably she could have maybe held back from making that move a little bit, but I'm not going to blame either one for it. Because yes, it was kind of a chain of events that happened out of it. But I think if there's a little more lap one respect out there in this situation, the wreck doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a track where we should be capable of three wide.
Right.
It just should be. And I know there were other moments where we had close calls where I think it was Bondo, Sean, and someone else were going into three or coming up to it. And I don't know if it was net code. I don't know if they got spooked, but there was a little wobble and that's what tapped Sean down. Amazing save, by the way.
Right.
By Sean there. I don't know. And it's hard. I'm not trying to tell people to not race or not feel competitive. That's the whole point of what we're doing.
Tyler, did you just kill a bird?
My bad.
I don't know. So it's like, I don't want to tell people to play, you know, I obviously want people to play nice, but like there's a balance and you're right. Like it's lap one.
Right.
At a track where it's super drafty. Like, oh, he got away from you a little bit. You'll suck right up to him. Not that bad. And if it's a longer race and you're faster than him, you'll outpace him. I don't know.
See, like coming from somebody who has the most, probably arguably one of the most aggressive natures in the history of this league.
Uh-huh.
I understand why Dean did it.
Right.
Because I'm the same. I can't say I wouldn't have made the same move, but there's nothing more that infuriates me than someone who doesn't know how to go when the green flag comes out. And Scotland knows that very well.
Right.
But I also understand it from like, at me watching the replay, what it looks like is, yep, Dean makes his move. And if I'm Casey Duncan and I'm looking in my mirror and I see that, to me, it looks like, you know, because I got a bad start, it could have looked like to him that maybe Dean jumped the start.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, if I think you jumped the start, I mean, you go to the apron, I'm going to try and hold you down there too. So I understand it from both aspects of it. Do I support either one of them? Not really. But I just understand both of their points.
I mean, at the end of the day, they both kind of, I don't want to say got what they had coming to them, but like when you both play that hard that early, you're going to kind of get what you're going to get. And both had pretty subpar results and subpar races. You know, you gambled and lost on lap one. But hey, again, you're out there racing. You want to go for what you want to go for. And it's that balance of giving racing room and understanding what's the risk worth. So overall, not to just beat in on people, once the chaos settled down early of a lot of guys being super aggressive early, had a really fascinating fuel race come out of the end result and then got to see some different strategies shine. Scala, I mean, you were the one that, I mean, not that I haven't watched it, but after the madness, what was it like from your perspective?
I thought it was good racing. I mean, it was a lot of what I expected. I mean, you had the 2, 3, 4 wide racing through 3 and 4. Turn one was pretty much down to the bottom, which is mostly what I expected, but it was pretty good. I mean, I'm just thinking it through here, and I'm like, Chris, don't get Kentucky mixed up with Vegas either, because I'm starting to think 3 and 4. I'm like, I'm picturing Kentucky in my head. I'm like, Chris, we're at Vegas this week. But no, it was good racing. The draft played a big role, obviously. You know, you saw a lot of comers and goers in the field. I saw a lot of aggression early. Obviously, that lap one incident was one, and then we went green. I think it was like a lap later, another caution for a 3 wide move that more looked like could have been maybe a net code thing or something, or somebody got spooked.
That whole thing was net code.
Yeah,
there were 3 instances of it there.
Right. So in the end, though, it was fantastic racing, and it come down to fuel mileage of all things. And I if you listen to the broadcast, you hear me pretty much talk the strategy the whole entire way. Like I'm saying, if they pit at this lap, this is going to happen. If they pit at this lap, this will happen. And actually, it was funny. I had, I think it was Josh Gagnon actually sent me a message. He goes, I should have listened to your broadcast. I mean, if I had done what you did, I win. But anyways, but Brian Sutphin told KJD2 team, Brian has been unfortunately under a lot of fire. Some of it has to do with the team of my own. And even I've said some things as an owner that that about some things that have happened, especially with last season. But I will be the first, and Telder's right there with me, because I've done some short track stuff broadcasting with Telder, and Sutphin's been there. I have said hundreds of times that Brian Sutphin has the talent to win races, but his luck, I don't even think exists. And I think you saw that Wednesday night with the way he was able to work the fuel mileage and go to victory lane in that race. I was proud of him for him to fight through all the issues he's had and to come through and get that win. It was so deserving on his part.
Can we debate for a second who has the worst luck, Bondo or Sutphin?
I'm going Sutphin.
Can I nominate myself? No, I'm kidding.
Sam actually could fall in there too, but no, I would say if you're talking about from, and I don't mean this in a mean way, Sam, for those who run up front mostly, that's in that fine. Kind of luck.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Well, I mean, what? Because I'm looking
getting
at Bondo,
there.
You're getting there, and that's good. But I'm looking at, you know,
Bondo's, I gotta say Bondo's worst luck.
I'm going Sutphin, because how many times I've seen Brian run up front, and then all of a sudden something happens. If it's contact with another driver, he gets involved in somebody's mess. Just anything. I mean, Bondo recently now, yeah, he's had some bad luck. I mean, he goes from finishing last at Darlington to winning Kentucky. I'll debate for Sutphin on this one.
I don't like, no, I think, and this is a bit unfair. I just feel like Sutphin is always like KJD2 so quietly became a powerhouse team. And yet I don't want to say that they haven't changed, but they just, I feel like Dalton's been on better form, but like we always knew Dalton was a good racer.
Right.
Fontaine was always good, but he just seems to be in another echelon right now. Dean is so hit and miss, you never know, but he's a race winner. He's proven to have speed. So I maybe this just comes from me always, I don't want to say forgetting Sutphin, but like you look at the KJD2 lineup and you know, he's always in the mix, but I just feel like I miss him. So I'm going to pay more attention in that regard. But I don't know. I mean, they both have really bad luck, to be fair. Like they both are deservedly in tough spots. But yeah, I don't know. I still lean towards Bondo, but maybe that's because I haven't been noticing Sutphin in those positions enough. Okay. Now, one thing we can discuss, because I'm not sure. I mean, the finish was insane, though. I'm pretty sure he conked out 100 yards from the line, and I really thought Fontaine was going to get him.
I thought he actually
was right behind Fontaine. He had just passed me. I was a few laps down, watching it happen, and I was like, "Oh man, he's just going to pip him right at the last minute." I am happy that he held for the win, but driver of the day, I think Sutphin is kind of hard to argue against for that accolade. I'd give a huge nomination to Blaine Sparling. The fact that he was able to squeeze enough juice out of that tank, despite him pitting either one, I think he pit one lap before those guys. And he had a solid, consistent day. This was not just Blaine, you know, creeping through the field after guys fall out or whatever. No, he qualified third, finished fourth.
Is that 53rd?
No. So I'm already mixing up my words. This stout is good. Qualified third, finished fourth, which is a great performance. And he held that pace all day long. And, you know, he calls a strategy different and pits one lap later. He's in the mix. I think Sean, Sean's just, I feel like his mentality is go fast no matter what. And I think he was leaning on the chance of, okay, I'm just going to keep pressing hard and see if a caution falls my way. Mm-hmm. You know, caution falls his way. He's in a great spot, but he didn't save. And there we go. So I think Sparling's definitely in the mix for a driver of the day nomination, but it's hard not to say Sutphin. Is there anyone else? I mean, Telder, am I actually going to admit this?
Telder can be easily up there, but I'm going to throw my option out here, and it's somebody you're not seeing. It's the guy that finished sixth in this race. Peyton Johnson led plenty of laps tonight. He's had his struggles this season, but he definitely showed up to Wednesday night in that race, finished sixth, which he actually pitted with about 10 laps to go and was in the right spot where if somebody's trucks did run out of gas, he was going to victory lane. But Peyton went ahead and did the short fill there at 10 to go and came out there and was able to work his way up to sixth. And that finish does not say what Peyton Johnson did that night.
Another guy, if I had to toss him for bad luck, Jonathan Tuckness. Super fast. What, he qualified first? And then
yeah.
I feel like Chris Evans is going to try and attack every 4X driver in some capacity before the end of the season. But that's a guy who was looking super speedy and just had a tough break. So, sorry, Telder, I cut you off.
I mean, I'd argue you have to. I mean, you almost looking at the results, you have to argue in Sutphin's defense. I mean, the man went from 27th to first to winning the race.
Yeah, that's driver of the day material.
To Scala's point of what Peyton Johnson did, if that man can ever figure out how a gas gauge works, he's going to be dangerous.
He's been fast multiple places.
Maybe he'll take lessons from Brian.
I mean, he was frighteningly fast at Darlington and just had unfortunate stuff happen. So, like, it's just one of those situations where if some things line up, he'll be scary. But overall, I mean, Las Vegas was fun. I did enjoy it. Out of all the 1.5 we've done, is it the one I would pick? Personally, I thought Kentucky was more of a unique challenge, so I prefer that. So, I mean, I don't know. I like this more than a Charlotte or an Atlanta or a Texas-style race, I guess. I don't know. That's just me.
I would much rather race next to you at Michigan than run another mile and a half in this league.
Telder?
Wow.
This would be a good time to squash that beef. It was I will admit, I've gone fucked up. It was not a good moment. It was bad. And I will pull out any excuse I need. It wasn't a good mental state. It was my old wheel. It was something else.
You had a lot of odds working against you. We'll leave it at that.
I think we'll button that up with that. If I had to put this race on a rating scale out of 10, I don't know, 7, 6.5. Decent race, fuel mileage, a little too much chaos at the start. Okay.
I give it a 2.
Yeah. 2 and for Telder.
That's only because I got to do a shoey at the end of it, so.
What did you put in your shoe?
What do you think I put in my shoe?
Champagne?
For Captain Coke.
I was going to say, the drink of the captain. Come on.
I will admit, this is pathetic to admit. I've had a bottle of champagne just always at the ready. You never know. It just sits in the wings in case, chilled, ready. I know, hopeless from me. So who knows?
I'm glad I found a gallon of milk.
That took me too long to realize what you were saying.
That's about as far as I'll go is Captain Morgan in my racing shoe. I'm not going to be a full on, what was it, J.W. Miller and say I'll eat my sock. Because that ain't happening.
I mean, Cody Beatty did technically kiss bricks when he won the race. It was just the bricks to his house.
That's
so,
a tradition, That's okay.
I
have brick on the outside of my place too. So if I win in Indy, I'm going outside and kissing bricks and doing milk chewies out of a sweaty racing shoe. So
what kind of milk would it be?
It'd have to be 2%.
Ooh, okay.
Is it controversial that I would really want to be chocolate milk?
That's exactly what I would do. Actually chocolate almond.
If I thought I stood a chance at winning Indy, I would go to the gas station before the race just to buy a chocolate milk. So I'd have one on hand.
No faith.
Man, I might. I don't know.
Have you seen my talent abilities that are not that great?
I wasn't going to comment.
Okay. Let me think. Do we want to talk a little Martinsville before? I'm just trying to think. Should we do the season 8 thing before the Telder questions?
I think that's a good idea. Why don't you break it?
If you want your preview of Martinsville, go rewatch the broadcast of USA 3 seasons ago.
Oh, jeez.
You're not fully wrong. I'm scared. I'm real scared.
Look at the bright side, Sam. You can sit back after the race and not have to deal with any of it.
You know, I will admit mentally I'm a lot better place than I used to be anxiety wise, but I still get like admin pangs. I'm like, the boxing ring is lighting up. Oh no.
Hey, you can now just sit back with popcorn and watch the boxing ring.
Just facts.
I don't know. I don't get joy out of the
boxing ring. You need to come up with a signature gif like Scala has. And just not say anything for 10 hours and then just randomly supposed to give.
Okay, I mean, I don't know. Do I want to do a fantasy pick thing for Martinsville? I mean, should. Okay, you know what? I don't have anything. You tell me. I have no idea.
All right, me personally, I'm going with myself just because short track. I'm probably going to die, but I'm still going to pick myself because I'm like that. I am going with Jason Dalton. I am going with Bondo because I think this is where his luck turns around, ironically. And then I am going to scroll way down the list to the 18th guy on that list, and I'm going to pick Jonathan Tuckness. He is a short track guy.
You know, I wish...
That puts me at $549, by the way.
I mean, that's a stout sounding lineup, really. I mean, again, I don't know what I would weigh in with. I mean, I guess I could. I mean, I gotta do it anyway. I'll pull one together real quick. Oh, my computer doesn't like whenever I do this. No, oh hey, it's working. If he had more laps, because he is really good at short tracks when he has his moments. He loves doing them. I know. This is going to sound, you know, Travis Akavachi loves short tracks. I would love to see him get another crack at IRP. I remember when he had a moment there, he got to be really quick and he ran well there. He had bad luck happen, but like he did all right. Who else? I'm trying to think of some other people who I really think will be good picks. I have no idea. Alex Cummings. I mean, he's more of a dirt guy than a short track guy. You know what? No, Brandon Alfind. He's quietly always there, always around. I feel like he could surprise. What does that put me at?
He'll be good if his internet stays together.
True. I'm at 413 with Alex Cummings, Brandon Alfin, and Travis. Who can I toss in the mix with that?
Well, at 413, that means you got 137 right now to work with. So you're going Cody Beatty down.
Justin Bondurant, then. I think you're right. I think Bondo feels pretty good. Then that puts me at 548. Submit.
Scala? I can't wait for a message from Bondo.
I'm a little bit on Telder's side here, but I'm very pissed. I guess I was going to say pissed off. Disappointed is more the term. Matt and I met through a league called the Short Track Super League. So Matt's one of those guys that drove in that league. Matt, who is a pretty good short track racer over in that league?
Fontaine, but he costs too much money.
I'm good with that, though. I'm taking Fontaine. Give me the 167. That still gives me plenty of money to work with. So I'm taking Fontaine in this one. Yep, I'm going to take Telder in this one, too. 127 there. So let's do some markings right here real quickly. 167 and 127, that equals 2-something.
Great math.
Yeah, right? It's Florida math. And of course, my screen's too small, so I have no clue where... 294. All right, so... So that leaves me really quickly. I have two guys to pick with roughly $206. So, of course, that means I got to go grab me a little sleeper down here at the bottom. So my first thinking is, okay, who's going to kind of be that guy that maybe just sneaks up in there and gets himself a win? So I'm going to slide down here, and I'm going to grab Telder's other driver, Luke Daniels, coming off his best career finish, only $100. Let me throw Luke into that lineup there. So now, Luke, that puts me at $394. And that leaves me now roughly $160 or so to work with for my final driver. So I'm like, all right, let's find me another driver that could run pretty well on a short track. And Telder kind of mentioned a little bit ago, Jason Dalton. Dalton won at Bristol. He's won multiple short track races. And so, yeah, I'm going Luke. I'm going Dalton. I'm going Touder. I'm going Fontaine.
All right. Those are pretty stout sounding lineups.
I originally had Fontaine, but I really wanted to have Tuckness in there because
fair enough,
he builds setups for short tracks.
And Tuckness, I mean, he's showed his ups and downs. I mean, he shows how good he can be.
He is now actually, according to the other Discord I'm in, he is the seventh, I believe now. This week, he took the seventh most winningest driver in all of iRacing history.
Wow.
Fun fact for you.
That's a big deal.
That's better than that fact I came out with about that driver on road courses, but that's another story for another day.
I mean, the dude needs to go out and touch grass for sure, but he's going to laugh when he listens to that because there's a running joke in that Discord.
Let me think. I know I've got season 8 Cal to talk about, but I thought I had one more thing I wanted to dig into and talk about before we got there, but I'm completely blanking on it.
It happened.
We talk about how awesome my team is.
They are pretty solid.
I will admit, you guys have been stout. Gotta give it to you. I mean, what can I say? So, boy, there really was something else I wanted to talk about, but I'm not remembering it. So I guess we're going to dive right in. I guess we're going to dive right in. Now, we all know that a few tracks were revealed earlier. Last episode, we gave out a few little tidbits that you guys knew. Those being the tracks that were voted for by the populace, Mosport, as the road course people voted for. And then what was the other one? Port Royal was the dirt oval that was voted for. And Myrtle Beach was the captain's vote. So out of the 14 tracks that will be a part of the season 8 calendar, 3 have been revealed.
Well, I mean, another 3 are given too, so.
Hey, well, you know. Yeah.
You
know, I
mean, you got Michigan, Indy, and Chicago. Those 3 are going to stay okay, no matter what. So you have 6 in the 14.
He's a there smart teller.
He's quick as a whip.
I don't know about that part.
We got some surprises, though. And I said to Sean when he revealed this to me, I said, this isn't a calendar for me, but I think a lot of guys are going to like this.
I don't like it.
Have you seen it?
I just asked, can I be the one that says the fifth race?
I mean, if you really want to, I was kind of excited about the fifth race too. Anyways, well,
okay, you could say it, but I want to say the other ways people put it.
Okay. The first big surprise starts right off the bat. We will not be going to a super speedway to start off the calendar. Week 1, mark your calendars, September 7th, Atlanta is where we're starting the season at.
I thought you said we weren't starting at a plate track.
Well, is it?
Well, not the new one, the old one.
The old one's still a plate track.
Well, okay, fine. It's not a plate track, but I it's not the usual super, super speedway. In the trucks, it's definitely more of a super speedway. Regardless, we will be starting the season in Georgia at Atlanta.
Welcome home, boys.
Following that up, we will go to the tricky triangle of Pocono.
Honeymoon capital of the world.
Following that, Rockingham, third race of the season.
Good win, Dean.
You might as well give Dean a crown for that.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to get him to teach me what it is, but man, the guy is just, he's all natural. He's like, you just do it. And I'm like, thank you, Dean. He was more help than that. Still, I just couldn't figure it out. Fourth race of the calendar. Port Royal. So that'll be our dirt race on the calendar. Fourth week of the season will be our dirt race. The fifth race, the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve, Montreal.
Or as others call it, Circuit dot blanky chicanes.
Yeah.
No, Sam's dropped 2 F-bombs. We can go ahead and call it Scala.
Okay, as Luke Daniels would say. Circuit de shitty de chicanes.
Hey, but it's going to be basically the most true home race for Mr. Fontaine.
True.
And I want to point out that truly we have a lot of Canadians in this league, and this will be our first time we're going to Canada twice.
Ah,
hey. So two races in the far north. All right, race six of the calendar. Now we have our super speedway race, Talladega.
Good win, Evans.
Yeah, hey, good win. We'll see.
You remember what he did this season?
Yeah, but he's also a two-time Talladega winner.
Well, yeah, it's easy to keep that crown when you wreck everybody else before you get to
the
line.
Wow.
You got to do what you got to do. All right. Okay. Race six, Talladega. Race seven, don't worry. We're going to make sure that we started early enough.
Hey, it's the race, no boys.
It's Milwaukee Mile, race seven. We're going back. Race eight will then be Myrtle Beach. Followed by the Nashville Fairgrounds for race nine. There's so many short tracks. Followed by, you know what it is, Michigan to cap off the regular season. You already know what the finale is going to be, Chicagoland. You already know what always precedes Chicagoland, Indianapolis. Before that, race 12, the second race of the playoffs, will be Mosport. And the one I'm actually pretty excited about to kick off our playoff part of the season is Iowa. So there you have it, everyone. Atlanta, Pocono, Rockingham, Port Royal, Montreal, Talladega, Milwaukee Mile, Myrtle Beach.
Hey, I'm good for Nashville,
Nashville Fairgrounds, Michigan, Iowa, Mosport, Indianapolis, Chicagoland. Season 8.
You say so many short tracks, but there's only two of them on there.
That's enough.
That is not enough.
I still remember how Nashville went. And the fact that we're going to be doing that before Myrtle Beach, temperatures were already going to be aggressive enough for Myrtle Beach. And then we're going to take all those angry people. Yep,
Myrtle Beach will surprise you.
Myrtle Beach will be fun.
I did some laps and I don't know.
Myrtle Beach will be one of the cleaner races of the season.
I'm going to have to remember that audio bit and save it for later. Anyways, that's season 8. I still can't remember the other thing I wanted to talk about on the show tonight. So I guess
that stout must be really good.
It's stout.
It's oh no, I remember. Okay. No, real quick.
It's funny how alcohol jogs a memory like that.
I want to talk just for a minute about the playoff picture, because it's going to be intense, and this week is going to have dire side effects. I mean, Alex Cummings is sitting very pretty. I think Brandon Alphen's good to go. Sam Fontaine, pretty strong. And then down from there, things are going to get a bit crazy. I mean, there's not much separating fourth all the way down to, like, I don't know, 14th, 15th. I feel that's going to be intense. And there's going to be a lot of beating and banging, and guys who are, I mean, two guys who had a tough race last week who really needed it to go better, Casey Duncan and Dean, now sit 10th and 11th in the points. They could have definitely used a better week. Blaine Sparling has now put himself into a much better position, despite not getting his usual road course points. He's in top 10 without his good result at a road course. Sean Peachin's still knocking on the door down at 12th. And then there's other guys who I know have absolutely the pace to do it are outside looking in. Peyton Johnson, Cameron Ingram, Luke Knupp, Jonathan Tuckness, Justin Bondurant. All of them sit outside the top 10, are outside looking in. I think things are about to get pretty hairy, and we're going to have to be diving more into the playoff picture, especially for the Michigan show. But any thoughts on that, Mr. Scala?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the points right now. You're looking at 1 through 10. I'm looking at 10 through 20. Because going off of, say, 30 drivers showing up to a race, that comes out to somewhere around 120 to 130 points that could be gained or lost in that kind of deal, finishing last and then finishing first type of thing. So when you do that kind of math, you go from Casey Duncan to Luke Daniels, there's less than 100 points being separated there from 10 to 20. So you have 10 guys here that could easily be separate the men from the boys. It could make big jumps in the points and potentially set themselves up Michigan to go in there. So when you now bring in the guys who are in the top 10, I think you started Tim Abril in eighth because he's got about a 24-point separation all the way down to Luke Daniels. Because here's where you got to remember, most of these with the old 1990s point system that the league uses, you're looking at 5 points separating down to, like, I think it's 20th or so, and then it goes to four, then it goes to three, all the way down to 43rd, which if we get 43 people, cool, but usually it's around 30 to 35. So looking at that, it's 120 to 130 point separation. So in that range, there is so much movement that is likely to happen between, I would say, you could easily say second down to seventh. There could be some movement there, but then I think from eighth down to, I'm going to go ahead and say 20th, there's going to be so much movement just from gaining one or two positions, leading a lap, leading the most laps, all these different things that can happen. You could all of a sudden see Jonathan Tuck just jump up into the top 10 and be right there 10th in points after Martinsville if he were to go win it.
It's I don't know how it always works out this way, but it always seems when you go into that Michigan race, it's the stress is high because there's a lot of, I mean, we've seen it before with different drivers missing out by 1 point,
right?
Barely making it, barely not making it, just depending on if they get tapped for a 4X or hit, or just barely missing it. So definitely going to be fascinating to see how such a dangerous track like Martinsville is, where you just don't know. You could be having a great day up the lap. Oh, hold on. I want to make an observation. I was doing a little cursory watching. Watching the Martinsville race from the Real Truck Series. They only did 200 laps. We're doing 25 more than the actual truck series.
Well, in fairness, there is one 250 lap race every season.
Fair. So, still, it's going to be a slugfest to the very end, and I have no idea what to expect for Martinsville.
I think I'm going to start from the pits.
I don't know. That might even work. Like, I have no idea. I have no idea.
I advise if you for some reason do happen to qualify in the top, I think we've mapped this out. It's like the top, like, 16. Do not start in the pits because you will come out right in the middle of 25th place.
Don't want to do that.
And you do not want to be there.
No.
Okay. I think we're to that part of the show where it's time to talk about Telder. Mr. Telder, you know my standard question. I ask it to everyone. What is the greatest race in the world?
All right. I'm going to answer this in a couple parts here.
Okay. I'm ready.
The number one race on my bucket list to go to, that if I had, like, money is not an option, time, whatever, Singapore Grand Prix.
Okay.
That is my favorite race on the calendar for Formula One every year. I hate that they have not raced it in 3 years now. It's finally coming back this year. I look forward to it. I have actually priced out what it would cost to go to Singapore for the weekend to stay in the Turn 17 paddock hotel and what paddock passes and everything would cost for the whole weekend. I have had that mapped out for years. Now, arguably the best race to watch on TV wise, like, is the entire week of the Snowball Derby. That is five solid nights of racing across multiple series on arguably the best track in the country.
Not the best for you, though. You wrecked on lap one.
Hey, for the record, though, I let the heat race start to finish. Right?
But in the main, it didn't go so well.
I still to this day don't know how that happened. I even started in third gear so I wouldn't spin the tires, and it still spun the tires. And I spent an hour after that race, like in a test session on my own, trying to figure out how that happened.
I don't know, but the beach ball dirt. See, I did like that track. So I wanted to let it be known that before the shows, I usually will let Scala know what my questions are. And he said, I've got 100 questions for Telder. So he get ready for a long show.
Yeah, Scala, me and Scala have known each other for a very, very long time.
We have.
We have, like, we have had a lot of good moments. He has kicked me from a league before.
Hey, I, as a team, I had to do my thing. But anyways.
I still miss that league, though. That was the best thing to look forward to on a weekend was a Saturday night. Fun, 10, Saturday night, 10 p.m. race.
Too many people ruined it.
But anyway, what was fair. It? Was it your short track super league? Or
no, it was my Saturday night league that my dad and I had come up with. And I come back and kind of help JW put it together and stuff. And there was just a lot of issues with, there were some egos. There were some issues with the way people raced. And it just got to the point where I'm like, I ain't messing with this anymore. And took a break and it's never really come back. In a nutshell.
All right, we'll hit Mr. Telder with one of your numerous questions.
So, I guess we'll start with the basic here. What got you in iRacing?
Honestly, COVID did. I had a buddy that was talking to me about it, like, right before COVID started. And I had tried it a couple times. And, like, I knew about it. And then I started watching, like, the Pro Invitational and stuff, like, the Pro stuff or whatever when they were doing that on TV. And I started looking, like, I'd never been a computer gamer. I was always console till I died. And then started looking into stuff, found literally a Logitech Driving Force GT wheel and pedals on Facebook for like $50. And I was like, oh, that's not bad. And then my buddy I work with had an extra computer that would run the bare minimum of iRacing. So, you know, snagged that off of him. And then that's what kind of got me started. And I had my first rig was an X rocker chair screwed to a kid's Lego table and with a hole cut in it to hold the pedals upright in a Formula One position. Sounds with an extra right. TV I had screwed to the wall 30 inches away from me. And then up here in Michigan, I don't know if Sam, do you guys have a bottle deposit over there in Illinois?
No, we don't. It's really annoying because I like it, that you do York. It in Michigan.
Had it in New York.
So we have bottle deposit here in Michigan. It's 10 cents per can or bottle. For anything carbonated. Well, during COVID, obviously, they shut down all the bottle returns here to where you couldn't return. And they were shut for probably 7 or 8 months. 6, 7 months, something like that. Well, everyone's got, you know, 7 months worth of cans piling up. So I went around and started taking them off people that didn't want to deal with them anymore, that were taking up space in their garage. Like, when they finally, and then I started returning them, just saving all the money. I'd walk into a store, and when they first opened, there was a line for like 3 hours to return cans, right? Well, I had done the math and figured out, like, okay, you can get this many 2 liters in a normal trash bag, this many cans in a normal trash bag. And calculating it out, I'd go up to people that were, you know, and probably an hour away from the bottle return. Hey, I'll give you 5 cents on every can that you have in there right now. And I'll take them and you can leave. And a lot of people, being impatient, didn't want to do that.
See, hustle bottle return people.
Yes. To the tune of over $1,000 by the time I was done.
Wow.
That's how I bought my, you know, my nice pedals, my nice wheelbase, my triple monitors, my first sim rig, actual sim rig. All that came from bottle return money.
Hmm.
Somehow that story explains so much about your racing. I don't know how it does, but I'm like, the scrappy nature of your racing makes sense through that story. I like it though. That's a good.
My grandma always taught me as a kid, if you want something in life, you got to work for it. So,
facts.
It's a good story.
I want to do that.
Now, you're a big hockey guy, right?
Yes, correct.
I don't know how this happened. My father loved hockey, went to a bunch of Blackhawks games. He's an angel on skates. I never learned how to ice skate. I never held a hockey stick. I don't know. It missed me. But what is something everyone should know about hockey?
It's the greatest sport in the world.
Elaborate.
If you look at, like, I mean, the science of it, they get paid. They're one of the least paid professional athletes out there.
Mm-hmm. That's fact.
There's been sports science shows on hits in hockey are actually harder than any other sport. The only one that came close to it was rugby, which they don't wear any pads, so that's hats off to those guys. They're insane anyway. But it's the atmosphere. Like, you know, people will sit and you can sit and watch hockey on TV, and people are like, you get bored with it. It's like watching a race on TV. You can get bored with it at times. You go and sit in an actual arena in the atmosphere, especially if you're like the home team when they score, win a game or something like that. That atmosphere is unmatched anywhere else. A football game, a baseball game for a home run. You will never match the energy that a hockey game can present to you. Especially when you get into like the playoffs and like, say the Blackhawks were in the playoffs, which I hate the Blackhawks, first of all. I'm a Red Wings fan, so we have to hate each other.
It's just that's what we have to do.
If the Blackhawks, you know, get back in the deep in the playoffs one year and it's like game six, game seven, where there's the cup is on the line, do yourself a favor, go buy a ticket. It could be the nosebleed seats. It don't matter. Just get in the building. And that will be the craziest, most fun atmosphere you have ever been a part of in your life. And I guarantee that.
I've heard stories of people who paid gobs of money for standing room only tickets for the United Center.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I definitely one day will have to maybe splurge on that, but we'll have to see how long it takes the Blackhawks to not suck again. Who knows?
And another thing too of why it's so great is you don't have like football is just, you're throwing and catching a ball and it's, you know, fastest guys in the world, right? Or fastest guys running, whatever. Baseball, who has the best hand-eye coordination to, you know, hit a pitch? Who can throw the ball the hardest? Hockey is a very underrated skill for everything it takes to, like, do it. Because you have to, A, have the hand-eye coordination to be able to puck handle, stick handle, and move the puck where you want it to, be able to pass, shoot, or whatever. Has to come off a certain part of the blade of the stick to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep your balance on these two literally 3/8 inch thick blades of steel that are sharp.
Great game, by the way.
And yes. And to have the whereabouts to have your head up the entire time. So you're not looking at your feet. You're not looking at your stick. You're not looking at the puck on the ground. You're looking 50 feet in a different direction at somebody else. You're basically trusting in your ability to control the puck at your feet. You'll see guys that'll like throw it behind them and throw it between their legs off their skate back to their stick. They don't look down once when they do that. That's all just practice and the hand-eye coordination to know exactly what they're doing without watching what they're doing.
Scala, hit him with another one.
Hockey players. Okay. Obviously, you've been around a lot of hockey and things like that. So if you had the opportunity to share the ice with somebody, past, present, future, who would it be?
Oh, damn, that's a good one. Oh.
And Happy Gilmore is an answer.
I feel like me and him would get along real well, though.
Yes.
Oh, God, that was not what I expected. I honestly would say a present day kid, and I would pick Cale Makar.
Okay.
Sean Peachin's gonna do a damn backflip when he hears that, but it would either have to be Cale Makar or Marc-Andre Fleury.
Ah.
Just for his personality.
All right, to steer this back into racing a little bit. I'm going to kind of take the same question, spin it on its head a little bit, or just adjust it. I feel like we all have people that when we watch racing, we want to embody a little bit. You see that guy on track, you want to be like them. What driver is your sort of inspiration?
Danny
Rick. How you race?
Danny Rick.
Hell yes. Good answer. I'm sorry.
Fun fact, I don't know if you know this. His 2018 Monaco race winning gloves for Red Bull.
You said Danny Rick. I'm like, wait, who?
Ricardo.
Ricardo. Daniel I get Ricardo. It. I got it now. It took me a minute.
No, his final win.
I do think I know you know the story.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have those.
I have those.
That's sick.
I have paid way too much money for them. I have lied about how much they cost him multiple people.
I mean, at the rate it's going, it might be his last win, so that's still a good buy.
Not true. He won at Monaco Monza last year.
Oh my god, you're right. I forgot about Monza. Well, still, the Red Bull win at Monaco holds a little more gravity then. I mean, Monza is really good. Okay, fine. Still.
Oh, it's still like, but still, it's a Monza win versus a Monaco Grand Prix win.
Yeah. That's good.
Coolest piece of anything I own is those.
All right, Skella, we got like, 98 more questions to get through for you?
Yeah, sure. But don't you die. I did the last, or you did the.
No, okay.
I did driver inspiration.
All right, I'm distracted here, okay? Anyways, let's see.
He's busy playing American Truck Simulator.
I am. I'm actually driving through Dallas-Fort Worth right now.
For the record, we're up till 7 a.m. last night doing this.
I'm on my way to Jackson, Mississippi right now, believe it or not. all right. So that's it. I'm looking over my sheet of paper here. Questions. You want to stick to racing now? All right. So
I mean, do whatever you want.
Well, he's a short track guy. So obviously you've gotten to run some race cars and be around some racers and stuff like that. So what would be an ideal, like if you had the opportunity right now to go race at a local short track or something, in what car, what would it be?
That'd be the track that's Berlin, the track that's 5 minutes down the road from my house and a super late model. Actually, no, it wouldn't be a super late model. It'd be an outlaw late model.
Hey, Dallas, your football team sucks. Oh, sorry.
He must have drove by the Houston. Or, wait, no.
What?
Ignore what I just said.
Houston, we have a problem. Okay. So.
No, outlaw late model, best car in the world.
Nice.
I wish iRacing would put them in.
Give it time.
There aren't many things that I feel like Telder and I align on where we've always had an interesting relationship, but I will say one thing we do agree on is street circuits. So what do you think will be the better street race? The new Detroit layout or the Chicago street?
I know what I was actually in Detroit Tuesday night and they have stuff down there about the layout for like about talking about it already. And I've never been to Chicago. I can only base it off what the like iRacing version of the street circuit is. But I think for overall race wise, I think Chicago is going to would be the better street circuit. Hmm. Especially if they're in real life when Indy goes back there, the roads in Detroit are way, way too rougher than what the iRacing Chicago street is.
Now I can say from personal experience that iRacing did some generous helping with the condition of the Chicago roads, but I'm still not thrilled about the new Detroit one, but I guess we'll have to see how it races. And the thing is too, is I know, you know, they did the iRacing scan and that race to see what worked and what didn't. So that doesn't mean that they might make some modifications or adjustments to said layout. I really don't know how much they can change other than widening it in some parts. Cause really that area, that's about what you can do with it. But like, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not sure.
That's going to be Detroit's problem too, is the area where the circuit's planned is the tightest. More than half of the track is in the tightest part of the entire city down there.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, Belle Isle was so great on its own. I get why they're doing this, but largely I don't. But that's just me.
A lot of people locally complain because when they came there for that, they shut the entire Island Park down for over a month for that race.
Okay, but I've been on Belle Isle, and other than like the what is it, the gardens that are there, there's like a, is that it? But there's not that much that you're going on to Belle Isle for other than like a pretty look around. I don't know.
People look at other than the gardens.
Fair. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy to me. Whatever. So, Scala, give me another one.
Let's see here. I got too many good ones here. I guess we could talk some music here. So
you don't start doing what you did last night.
What, me rapping? That was fun.
That was fun at 5 a.m.
That's true. I had to do something to keep awake. Let's see. So, what do you call real hip hop music?
Stuff that has passion and meaning behind it. Like, I don't care about cars, drugs, money, bitches, any of that. I want to listen to, like, you know, a personal story. I want to listen to adversity, struggles, stuff like that. That to me is like hip hop. Like when you slower beat, a little bit slower beat, not quite back to like, you know, some Wu-Tang stuff like that.
Right.
But like for me, like my favorite album is, I mean, to this day still is The Heist by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. There are so many songs on there, just so many powerful songs on there that to me is an example of what like rap and hip hop should be. Similar to like, you know, an Eminem from back in the day. Mm-hmm. The Eminem Show Eminem, or like currently like NF, how he is.
Right.
Stuff like that. That to me is what hip hop should be. Is, anyway.
All right, I guess that brings it back to me, and I don't know if I like my last question. I think I'm going to change it. You always have some pretty bold and feisty opinions on pretty much anything. If you got to make any change you wanted to the GLSR calendar, now I know we just announced season 8, but I guess I mean more than just specific racetracks, format, whatever, what would you do?
That's tough because there's two things I would want to do. One, I don't like the Final Four reset.
Okay.
For the playoffs or whatever. Not that I'll ever be in the Final Four, but I don't like the fact if you can win the first three playoff races and then you get taken out on lap 3 in the final race. And even though you had a 300-point lead going into there, you lose because you weren't the fastest for one race. I don't like that. Secondly, there needs to be a second dirt race in the season, and it needs to be in the playoffs.
Where have I heard that?
Wise man once said that.
It'd be a pretty crazy playoff if he had it like it was Milwaukee Mile, Chicago Street, Eldora, and Chicagoland.
Oh, I am a firm believer there should be one of each type of race in the playoffs.
Sam, I need you to put the beer down.
fine. Switch up Milwaukee Mile for Indianapolis. Dunskies. There we go.
No. Switch up Milwaukee Wild for like... Nah, let's see. I was going to say Fireflies, but we know how that would go over.
Go to the LA Coliseum. Let's do it.
No, that is a joke of a racetrack.
Yeah. Did you do the preseason thing? That was a lot of fun.
I did not because I do not own the Coliseum and I refuse to buy it.
I had a good time. It was a lot of fun. I
don't have it either.
No, I think it should be like a legitimate short track like Fairgrounds or Myrtle Beach or something like that. It should be a, you know, some form of a better road course. Like, I think honestly a street circuit's perfect for the playoffs. I think there should be a second dirt race in there. And then you have the cookie cutter mile and a half of Chicagoland.
I mean, I guess it would bring, it would, I could see how that opinion would balance out with your idea of like, okay, very vast different skills, and then you have the more normal basic finale. I don't know. All right, well, we're getting pretty close to that time, everyone. Scala, hit us with one more question.
One more question. If there was, I'll call it a series. Give me a series of tracks that iRacing needs to add.
Ooh, all right. Well, they need to add more. I think they need to add Singapore, the street circuit over there.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they could go back and add the 2012 Valencia track, which is a street circuit, mm-hmm. too. It's kind of a street circuit. They need to add my track, Berlin, and multiple people I know, multiple NASCAR drivers love racing on that track. It's a very unique one. Look it up, Sam, if you've never heard of it before. It's a
Travis
very weird.
Has mentioned it.
Yeah, Travis has been up here. That track, I think they need to add. Oh shit! What was it? I was gonna say Port Royal, but they added Port Royal. I think Fonda in New York is a great track. New York. I think that's a good dirt track.
Add one?
Shoot.
They need to get Monaco in there. We need to be able to virtually do the Triple Crown.
I would. That was good. That's right. Yeah, I forgot about Monaco. They do as much of a shit show as that would be in iRacing.
Yeah, 100%. Think about it. We've got Le Mans. We've got Indy. Like, we need to be able to do the Triple Crown for real.
They need to. Yeah, well, I mean, you need to be able to have. I think they should do that and then add the best day of racing virtually. Wake up in the morning and.
I've actually thought about doing it myself.
Man, that would be epic if they did.
I've actually thought about an actual
race for like 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. Have Monaco at 1 o'clock. Have Indy 500. Then at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, have the Coke 600.
Right,
it would work. People would absolutely do that.
Oh, I guarantee you that'd be their iRacing's highest participation day in history.
The servers would crash.
It'd crash. That's what I was about to go. It'd probably crash it.
We did that during the Daytona 24-hour last year. That sucked.
Man. I mean, Scala, I'll tell you what. I feel like we got time for one more, and you had so many. Do you want to throw a bonus?
Oh, really?
Sure.
How about I steal your question? Because you had a good one there, and I'm like, man, how do you not ask this question?
All right, take it and steal it.
Well, actually, I'm going to put my own little twist on it.
Go for it.
All right. If you had a GLSR member that you could use as a tag team partner in a wrestling match, who would it be?
Oh. Does physical ability matter here?
I guess if you wanted to go just off spirit, because it's not like we're sizing each other up.
Tag team partner. That's a tough one. I mean, I feel like the obvious answer has got to be Luke Daniels.
That's up, right? I mean,
it's got to be Luke Daniels just from all the shit we get into together. It'd either have to be Luke Daniels or it would be Jason Clark.
Wow.
Really? Mr. This is the guy that wanted to have a joint with the guy who killed Jesus.
He's not wrong, though. That had to be an interesting conversation.
Doubt it. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this show. Make sure you get your fantasy lineups in. Support all of our different sponsors that we've got. I know we have a promo deal with Dr. Squash that's really good. If you're in the Chicagoland area, come by to the Black Horizon Brewery.
Where's my Black Horizon hat, by the way?
You know, I actually just came by that. I moved, and my wife was like, "You bought yourself a hat?" I'm like, "Oh, it's Telder's hat." So I found it. You send me your address again after this, and I'll get it on its way. So, yeah, moving was crazy. Thanks for listening to the show. And remember, guys, we are just here for the GLSR. I didn't do anything weird this episode.
You didn't?
Oh, my God. I have to do it right now.
Hey, in the off season, can we have a going on green seminar?
Oh my God. And that's the show.